It's time for our hosts to tee off.
I got a late invite to do some golf.
Oh, hey, all right.
Shot 100 on the dot.
Well, good thing you made that putt.
This is Danny and Dusty on PGA Championship Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080, The Fan.
Well, speaking of Langdon Farms, reminder, your local Toyota dealers present the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club on Tuesday, June 24th, brought to you by Henderson & Daughter, Windows & Doors, and by Philbrook Law Accident & Injury Lawyers. We'll be out there all day. The wife will drop me off at 6 in the morning and pick me up at 7 in the afternoon, and hopefully I'll be no worse for the wear. That won't happen.
Yeah, you definitely will be.
That won't happen.
You definitely will be.
But helping us out along the way, we've got Victorico's out there with the absolutely fantastic breakfast burritos. It's so freaking good.
That's the big benefit of the morning round, is that you get out there, you get a hearty breakfast burrito.
That thing is just solid.
Play the round of golf, then you got Matt's barbecue waiting for you when you get done. It's amazing.
Sink on down in the red shed, decompress, about your scores.
No. Do not lie about the scores. The sandbagging has got to stop.
Yeah, we've got eyes on you.
You know who you are.
Don't worry. We're looking up handicaps ahead of time just to see if they adjust accordingly.
Oh, that would be something.
Oh, that's weird. This guy's handicap jumped 7 spots.
Well, my, oh, my, oh,
weird. Interesting. But if you are interested, and they are going quick, go to 1080fan.com, click on the Fan Golf Classic logo, and sign
Do
up
it.
Your foursome. We are now, 5 weeks away?
Yes, we are.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's coming fast.
God, it always does. It's like, oh, well, we have this coming, and it's like, oh, we're a month, oh, we're 2 weeks out, oh, we're here.
Bingo! Spots are filling up really fast, though, so get on them right now. If you're on the fence, get it done, folks.
All right, first game. It's actually the second game of the night, but this, I think, is probably the least important of the two. I just don't know how, which way, shape, matter, or form, some magic that the Warriors are somehow even talking about point spreads that got Draymond Green in trouble. But they were in the last game against the Minnesota Timberwolves before falling behind 3-1. They have to stave off elimination tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and by God, as much as I trust the Indiana Pacers right now, I can't trust the Timberwolves further than I can throw them. They make no sense. They should absolutely buzzsaw this Warriors team, and yet they still haven't done it.
No, all these games are close, and there's vets still in Golden State that have been here, done that, and they just lack scoring punch. I think that's one of the most head-scratching parts of this Minnesota Timberwolves team, is that their lowest scoring output games are in the playoffs all season long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going back to a early February game right before the All-Star break where guys aren't playing, and they still were mustering points up with their bench guys. They have a lack of punch at times that is frustrating.
And it's not for lack of talent. It's not for lack of shooting. It's just they just don't make any sense, and they don't have the requisite force that they're playing with. However, the folks down in the Sandcastles in Las Vegas, 10.5-point favorites tonight.
Yeah, and that just is, I think the gas is out
for
the Warriors tank. You have the Steph injury. He's not going to play. We know he's not going to play, even in Game 6, if he's doing light workouts now.
Honestly, I hope to God he doesn't, because after what we saw happen to Dame coming back off the calf injury and off the blood clots and then suffering the Achilles injury, and just looking around the league and Garland playing through stuff and Mitchell playing through stuff. You're just like, I had somebody covers the Cavs after the game. I was talking to him last night, and I was like, yeah, sorry about the season, man. And he goes, yeah, now I wait to see how many guys have surgery.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worry. Like, if you're Steph Curry, you can't afford to have off-season surgery at 36.
No.
Don't go out there and tear your freaking hamstring, dude.
But this is where I just don't know. Like, with Golden State, you're not going to see him. Jimmy Butler is sick. Draymond Green can't score. Mm-hmm. He's never been a scorer, but even now, as he's getting older, it's fewer
really
and further in between. So you're leaning on Buddy Hield and Pods.
And Kuminga.
Kuminga off the bench, who's just playing black hole basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's that ball ain't going anywhere but a shot. We know that. But also, they need it.
Yeah, they absolutely do.
That's the only way they have a chance is if those guys and you know, Moses Moody, Kuminga, Pods, like those guys all have to contribute for them to have a chance. It's interesting. This is the first time, I believe, in this series that it's been a double-digit margin. And I think that just shows you, to your point, how out of gas the Golden State Warriors are at this point.
And it's a big question, though. Minnesota's season low was 93 points. They did that one time in the regular season, 93 points back on November 29th against the Los Angeles Clippers. They have, in the postseason, three games of 93 or less points so far, two of them in this series against Golden State.
And don't get me wrong, things slow down. You know, the pace isn't really there, unless, of course, you are the Pacers, who somehow have defied all logic and continue to play with their hair on fire. But it's also just dumbfounding.
Yeah. With that said, though, game two? Game two, where they blew Golden State out, and they can do it.
It
is there.
They should be doing.
And I think back at home, the chance to just finish a team off, it does come down to their star, though. And you talk about not being able to trust this Minnesota team. It is the ready, fire, aim approach of Anthony Edwards, where if the game goes a different way than what he has thought, he's done. He's toast. And they're ineffective offensively.
It's going to be interesting to see how that one turns out. Coming up next, there's another 3-1 game between the Boston Celtics, or the Hospital Celtics, and the New York Knicks. Are we headed towards the infamous rematch of the Pacers and Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals? We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. All eyes are on the New York Knicks as they have the opportunity to take on the Indiana Pacers with a win tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Boston Celtics. And talking to media and executives around the NBA over the past 48 hours, there is a major power vacuum that is currently underway in the NBA and the Eastern Conference, with an injury to Damian Lillard, an injury now to Jason Tatum that will both see them out for the season next year, both with devastating Achilles injuries. Giannis wanting to be traded, and the Cavs maybe not looking the part. Eastern Conference is as wide open as it's maybe ever been.
Isn't this crazy, though? Because there was like this brief spell where it was like, dude, the East is actually might be back.
Philly, Boston, Miami, you're like sitting there going, oh.
Detroit is, they're starting to be on the upswing. But you had, go back, just rewind a few years ago, where Miami was really damn good. Mm-hmm. Boston was really damn good. The Philadelphia 76ers were really dang good. Milwaukee was winning a title. Mm-hmm. Like,
the top end of the East looked like it was finally getting their ass together.
Now you look at it and you say, this goes back to what we've thought of the East for two decades now, is who?
By the way, the top two picks in the NBA draft are going to the West.
Yeah. Yep.
And as it pertains to Giannis Antetokounmpo, I've mentioned this before, you know, everything started really picking up. Giannis's preference is to stay in the East. Now it's growing to an absurd level. You don't want to go West.
It is brutal. I do have the odds for Giannis and where he lands.
Without having seen them, I would assume San Antonio shot up that list.
There is not an Eastern Conference team until you get to fifth.
And is it Brooklyn or New York?
Brooklyn.
Okay.
New York is 7-9-11th.
Okay.
Behind the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I don't think giving Drew and Jalen is enough, but
As of right now, the San Antonio Spurs are the odds-on favorite, 5-2, +250 odds there.
Getting that number two pick just put them in the driver's seat with a million different things.
+400 is the Houston Rockets, 4-1 odds. Then the New Orleans Pelicans, 6-1 odds.
Because they control so much of their draft.
And that goes back to, what you said about, does Boston maybe make a deal with New Orleans so you can bring Zion in? Cut him because he's got non-guaranteed money, take 1 year of a hit, against the salary cap, and then your books look a little bit cleaner. Milwaukee could essentially do the same thing and get their draft capital back that New Orleans does control. Memphis is fourth on this list. 13-2, plus 650.
Jaren, Desmond, and picks, plus some of the young kids. You could do worse.
Then you have Brooklyn, 8-1 odds. Cleveland, 9-1.
They give up Mobley.
And then you go Dallas, 9-1. OKC, 12-1. That's nothing but draft capital.
Yeah, and Chet.
And then you go Boston, New York. And then Orlando and the Portland Trailblazers, plus 1,600, 16-1.
Well, here's the other thing, too. If you're Milwaukee, you don't want to see him in conference.
No.
You don't want, like, if I had to place a bet right now, hell, even before the lottery, I said this, he's going to the West.
Yep.
You do, when you have a face of your franchise, you don't want to see them four times a year.
Yes. No, you don't.
You don't want them coming back in.
No. Of the top eight, six are Western Conference teams.
And it just got heavier as the Spurs won or got second in the lottery.
Yep.
That's what happened. It just went. Yeah, and you can basically say he's going in like a, 400 square mile radius between Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Houston.
Yeah, that doesn't.
If you gave me those three in the field, I'm taking those three, and I'm putting a large sum of money on it.
Golly,
but back to the Eastern Conference,
16-1 for Portland. Worse odds. Minnesota, Philly, Phoenix, Sacramento, all 66-1.
Huh. I wouldn't expect the Minnesota to be on the list, but okay. Yeah, they don't have as much draft capital because they had to give up so much for Rudy. That makes sense.
Yep.
But back to the Eastern Conference and as it pertains to the Knicks. With Tatum's injury, the Celtics, if everyone else is healthy, they can win tonight. They can. They can push this to six. I don't think they can win in seven. In fact, the books have Boston favored by 4.5, which... You're probably going to get the Rally the Troops game.
But what does the Rally the Troaps game look like when Kristaps Porzingis is still limited to under 20 minutes a game?
Yeah, you're looking at Jaylen Brown breaking out of his funk. You're looking at Pritchard having a game.
Actually, Derek White Pritchard playing significant minutes.
Yeah.
Joe Mazzulla's botched this series too, by the way.
No, look, Joe Maz is taking a little bit of heat. It's like, oh yeah, it turns out when you don't have five All-Stars all humming at once, it gets a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about coaching, man, it's talent, man. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. But you've seen Derek White, you've seen Jrue Holiday, you've seen Jaylen Brown all perform at incredibly high levels in the highest leverage situations. It's not even like, can they do it? It's like, yeah, they can do it. Yeah, we've seen this before. But what is the mentality? And talking to folks that cover the Celtics, after that game in that locker room, they all said it was the quietest place they'd ever been. And rightfully so.
Yeah, Jason Tatum goes down with an Achilles. That's brutal.
Because it's not
dude.
Just this season. It's the state of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He's out for a year. Guys, like, it's only natural. You're sitting there contemplating your own future, your own mind of like, oh, God. Like, if you're Al Horford, do you look at this and like, man, do I retire?
It's it. Al Horford has got, because you're hanging on because you are a valuable piece when you have so much talent around you.
If all of a sudden he's elevated two spots.
No.
It's like,
that ain't it, boss.
Because he's already having to cover up for KP. Now he's going to have to pick up a little bit more slack for Tatum.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we talked about this, that 2007 draft class, guys that are still going. The fact that he is still like 18 years of Al Horford and being so good and so productive. I'm really looking forward. I'm putting the tombstone on the Celtics tonight. Can they win? Yeah. I even think they probably will. But we're looking ahead to the Knicks and Pacers. And is that the new future of the East? When I asked you yesterday, do you think the Pacers can win a title?
No, no, I don't. But I will say that Detroit's going to have something to say about that because they are up and coming. So will Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland will, just because they are young, and we talk about this with Oklahoma City, you got to get your scars. We're seeing that with Detroit and Cleveland. Cleveland is showing you it for OKC this year. It ain't going to just magically turn a corner.
Takes a lot of luck.
Yep.
And that's the thing that kind of comes out with that. Well, we had the NBA draft lottery. what about the NFL?
I don't get
draft
this.
Lottery. We'll get to that next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers. I said chill.
In the modern NBA draft lottery, you've had five teams move up to the number one overall pick with a less than 2% chance. Imagine if the NFL draft that we just had, 2 months ago, was the same as the NBA draft lottery.
A couple weeks ago.
I said 2 months ago. God. 2 weeks ago. I'm a dummy. Excuse me. But if the NFL draft lottery or the NBA draft lottery was mimicked by the NFL, you would have seen the San Francisco 49ers pick number one.
Yeah, no, this is dumb. And I don't know what ESPN, I know they're just maybe just trying to drum up conversation, but I don't know if the NFL's trying to float something or ESPN just wants to squeeze a little bit more money. But you got guys like Adam Schefter and Greeny going out there and saying the NFL would benefit from an NFL draft lottery. There are so many flaws with that.
They would financially, because you better believe everyone and their mom would tune into that.
That's the thing, is that ESPN just wants to squeeze a little bit more money, right? And they would make a killing off of an NFL draft lottery.
Me? Be an all-day event.
But you don't need it in the NFL.
It sorts itself out. It just does.
You don't need it because teams don't tank in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't do it. You have teams that aren't very good and are poorly run, but we've known this from the NBA draft lottery, from the Major League draft lottery. In Major League Baseball, they had such a bad tanking issue that their lottery is
super protected.
Large market team, and you're in it back-to-back years, you're not getting in the top 10. You can only move up 10 slots in the Major League Baseball draft lottery. So the Mavericks would not have been able to do it, period. The NHL's draft lottery is wildly public, where they put up all the balls, like all the number machinations in real time, and it's super confusing for people.
I love that, though.
But it is transparency. Mm-hmm. But all of those sports have tanking, and the NFL doesn't. The season is too short. If you look at the teams that are really bad this past year in the NFL, Titans didn't have a quarterback. Browns didn't have a quarterback. Giants didn't have a quarterback. Raiders didn't have a quarterback.
Rude.
They didn't.
They didn't.
And then you go to, all right, teams that were bad but have young quarterbacks. The Jags, the Patriots. These teams are in a process of building. The Jets were bad. Guess what they didn't have? A functional front office. Okay, and an aging quarterback where their pieces just didn't make much sense at all. You don't need a draft lottery in the NFL because it's not fixing any of the issues within the league. It doesn't. It sells a good TV show in the offseason. Other than that, that's it. Your offseason is so damn short anyways. The Super Bowl ends, and a week and a half later, you're at the scouting combine for the NFL draft. And then it's wall-to-wall coverage of what the draft is going to look like. And then 2 months after the Super Bowl happens, you have your draft is there waiting for you.
And not only that, the cyclical nature of the NFL does what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
It churns.
Yep.
Look, the Patriots, notwithstanding, we haven't had a dynasty since the Steelers. You've had good runs from the Cowboys. You've had good
49ers in the 80s.
But I mean, for the most part, it's very cyclical, and it's very hard to win multiple titles. It's just a difficult thing to do. Like, the reason the lottery became such a big deal, particularly in baseball and basketball, is because dynasties were running things.
Yep.
It was the Lakers forever, or the Celtics forever. Then it was the Lakers forever. Then it was the Bulls, and then it was the Spurs. It was like, okay. Like, we've got to make some changes here. And then you had the hinky 76ers that said, we've got to change everything that we do.
Yeah. I don't.
The NFL is creating a problem to solve. And it's like, you don't need to. What you have right now, it's not perfect, but it's pretty damn good.
The NFL has always been the teams that lack quarterback play are the ones that lose. it gets fixed because those teams get the top draft picks.
And where because there's no position in sports that's more valuable than the quarterback.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, you keep ending up there over and over and over again. See the guy with the Browns jersey that has every single quarterback mm-hmm. listed since the Browns came back to Cleveland.
Yup.
That is still one. That is one of like that jersey should be in the Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it really
as
should.
A story of like. You wouldn't believe this unless you knew it to be true.
No.
Because the number of names on the back of that jersey is insane.
That just goes to prove, though, it's not always the quarterback's fault. Baker Mayfield was there. They gave up on him. That is a dysfunctional organization.
Yes.
But I mean, full stop. It always has been, and it always will be.
And the lottery would put that dysfunctional organization in an even worse position.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of the lottery is to save you from your own stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Or excuse me, the non-lottery. It saves you from your own stupidity. Because if you pick at the top enough, you should stumble into it.
Yep. And they can't because everything else is such a disaster. So I don't really get why this is a topic of conversation for people in ESPN's orbit. But it is, and it's one of those things
like
that you just
go. It feels
like
it's got some juice behind it from the NFL.
It may, and that may be it, is it may be a signal that they're just trying to say, how are people going to react to this? And it wouldn't be good for the NFL. And the money that they would make off of a draft lottery is not anything that is going to be a earth-shattering amount of money.
But it's just more money.
For a league that makes money hand over fist.
What did they make last year? $9 billion?
I think they're far beyond that. They're creeping up towards... They wanted to be at 20 in 2025.
Oh, you're right. No. $9 billion was the NBA rights deal for the TV thing.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
They,
yeah, I think you're right. I think
yeah, it was $23 billion. Dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. $23 billion.
Throw in another $100 million for a lottery.
I mean, just think of that, though. They're at $23 billion in revenue in one season in a league that has 32 teams. And that number's going to climb.
$750 million for each team.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
the
nuts.
Power of the NFL, and that number is going to keep on climbing. And I wonder what the projected revenue is for 2025. Let's look that up.
25.
All right, let's go 20. How about 2030? We'll fast forward this thing.
I'm going to say it's under 30.
Oh, I don't trust AI.
What did it say?
73.
Yeah, definitely not.
I don't trust that. NFL is projected to generate $73 billion.
Are they starting up another league in Europe?
Yeah, right? Wow. I don't think that's going to happen, but. Let's see where we're at there. Yeah. Well, the projection, Goodell wanted to get to 27 by 2020 or 25 by 2027.
That's going to happen.
They're going to lap that. But I wonder what they'll be at once they actually get to 2030. I don't think it's going to be 73 billion.
No, I don't think so either. But while we're talking the sports business part of this, part of the NFL schedule release, this came out yesterday. And this is where a lot of that money comes from. YouTube will be the lone home for the kickoff game in Brazil. It will be the first standalone, wholly streamed game. You can't get it anywhere.
And it's not on YouTube TV. It's on straight up YouTube, right? That's dope.
That's
well, I think YouTube TV
free.
Also.
Well, yeah, I know,
yes.
But, I mean, like,
yes, but,
it's
yeah.
for free
yes.
on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a... The amount of money YouTube must have paid for that has to be otherworldly. Because, I mean, you have the standalone game where all your eyes are on it and you're on another continent. That is just... Then this is why the NFL is what the NFL is.
Yeah.
That's like... I know it doesn't sound that big, but it's pretty huge and you understand why and the kind of the things are coming out of this. Yesterday afternoon, what?
You know what the most viewed live event on YouTube was?
No.
It would be Prince William's marriage to Catherine Middleton.
Mm.
In 2011, it achieved a record 72 million live views in 188 countries around the world.
I bet you they get close to that.
Dang. 72 million.
What was the Super Bowl? Was it 153?
Yeah.
It was more than, I think it was just under half of the population.
Yeah, that's the interesting part, though, is that the United States, we got so many people that are still reluctant to go and seek things out on the internet, though. Mm-hmm. 72 million would be, that's a tough number to get but everybody knows where YouTube is.
That's the thing, is it's not just YouTube TV, it's YouTube.
And it's no subscription. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how many they get for that.
Speaking of subscriptions, did you see what ESPN's doing?
Yeah, just it's called ESPN. I'm glad. You know what? That's actually progress.
Because hey, along these same lines, Max is HBO Max again. The branding that they had for 40 years with HBO, they're bringing back because they finally got it through somebody's thick skull at some VC firm.
So dumb
that the HBO branding is better than something named after a dog.
It is progress. That it's just called ESPN, the platform will be ESPN.
And for those wondering, it's a direct-to-consumer, straight up, it was $32?
$29.99, I thought.
Okay, but the $32.99 must have been like the whole inclusive.
But
like
you
ESPN
just
Plus.
Get all of ESPN's programming.
Yeah.
Now.
And I think that's the premium tier. I think there's a lower one for $19.99.
Of course it's tiered. It's Disney.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We got one thing right, which is just calling it ESPN. We can't get everything right. All right. But this goes back to a la carte viewing.
Which is hilarious because we're getting closer and closer to coming back to cable.
Yeah. But one of the big
issues...
It
took ESPN like 14 years to do this.
But one of the big issues that people have, though, is that, you know, when you pay your cable bill, you're paying for Telemundo and Hallmark Channel and C-SPAN and...
Nobody wants C-SPAN.
BYU Network or whatever that is that's on my cable, apparently. I don't want to watch any of that. I don't watch any. Well, my wife watches the Hallmark Channel, but that's a whole other story.
I would imagine all our wives do.
That should be free on YouTube, by the way.
She doesn't hit Hallmark. She's a big Bravo one, though.
Ah, yeah. It's adjacent.
Yeah, Bravo. I don't need the Game Show Network. I don't know if I've ever watched the Game Show Network.
No. If I want to watch Game Show Network type stuff, that's what YouTube's for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find the times when somebody really screwed up on Wheel of Fortune.
If I want to watch a classic episode of Family Feud where Richard Dawson is sexually harassing some guy's wife in front of that man, I'll go to YouTube for that.
And it's great every single time.
It is. Mm. But I don't need to watch that on the Game Show Network.
People are
sick of that. And there are more affordable internet providers that are coming up left and right. So if I am into sports and I love sports and that's what I want to watch, I'll do that instead of the full bundle of cable television that we have to get now, where if I wanted to watch a Blazer game, I have to, you know, sell one of my children in order to pay the cable bill.
I don't know, Steve, but the one thing that I think gets lost in a lot of this discussion that some people don't think about, I still like to channel surf sometimes.
Oh, yeah, no. And they're getting better about it, but it's still a pain.
You got to back out of one app to start up another one.
Yeah, I think my TV's a Sony-powered YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, it's got like all the apps on the remote and you can flip through them. Pretty damn convenient, and it boots up real quick. It doesn't make you like sign in, sign out, as long as you're signed in through all of them.
Yeah, like our remote on our TV, it's got a Netflix button on there. It's got a Prime Video button. I'm trying to think of what else is there.
I'll tell you
maybe
what.
Maybe a Fandango.
I've been paralyzed by which app I'm going to enter. Like, I'm just sitting there, I'm looking at it like...
It's not FOMO, it's the fear of the commitment.
Which one do I want to go to? Do I want to go to Max? Do I want to go to Apple TV? Do I want to go to Prime? Do I want to go to Peacock? Do I want to go to Netflix? I don't know. And then I just
don't
watch reruns of The Office. Like that's
the fallback.
Damn.
Like, all right, what's on TNT anyways?
You got me again.
Go watch Shawshank on TNT for the 1,000th time.
Still have never watched an entire episode of The Office. Not that I'm against it. Just
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah. No. I haven't done it yet. I've probably seen like the entire episodes through like TikTok?
See, I've watched. See, now that's a bridge further than even me, where I've seen a Star Wars.
Yeah, I've seen chunks.
The very first
of
one.
The Office. I love the what's the bell that hits Dwight Schrute. What's the experiment where they ring the bell?
The Pavlov.
Stuff. Psychological treatment stuff. I've seen that skit 1,000 times on social media, but never seen the entire episode.
All right.
The Altoid. So there you go. All right, let's wrap up today's show with the news of the day that carried over from yesterday. Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. As we wrap up today's show, yesterday the big news was the Portland Trailblazers are hitting the market for the first time in 37 years. The Allen Estate has indeed put the Trailblazers up for sale. And today we get the first real bit of news as potential buyer Phil Knight has said he will no longer pursue a purchase of the Portland Trailblazers.
He says it's a young man's game, and 5 years ago he was still a young man.
And at 87 and not 82, that is the line of delineation.
Yeah, and I think the bummer in that is not that you had a long-term owner that you felt was going to be in place in Phil Knight, but it was somebody who cares about keeping a team here, mm-hmm. cares about the region, is truly the only billionaire in our state that could afford to do this and do it the right way and put weight behind it. And that does, now you're going, all right, it is going to be outside money. I mean, we just don't have those people here that can say, nope, I want to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make sure that it stays. Reality is that he would have been gone in relatively short order when you think of how long the ownerships in the organization have been. 1970 to 1988, Larry Weinberg. 1988 to 2018, it was in Paul Allen's sole hands. Then it transfers over to his estate, which is run by his sister Jody and Burt Cold, his best friend. Like, that is a lot of stability that this organization has had with not changing hands and changing power. But with Phil Knight backing out, now it's truly going to be, it's an outsider.
Yeah.
And now you got to hope that it's somebody who cares about basketball. And as we talked about yesterday, and we talked with Ben Golliver today about having somebody that not just cares about basketball, but is willing to let people that understand the game better than mm-hmm. they do operate the team. But when you care, you want to win, and you hold those other people accountable. Investment portfolio folks that own teams, they don't do that.
No.
And that's the worst thing that can happen.
It's a bottom line, and that's the scary proposition. That's when everybody screams and yells about get Jody out of here. That's the terrifying thing that sits in the back of my mind, is that that is a real possibility.
But, I mean, we don't know if she really even cared either, though.
No. But, I mean,
because we don't know nothing about her.
No, and that's the thing is, to Golliver's point, I want somebody front and center. We didn't have time with him, but I wanted to ask, Pacers ownership ain't out there front and center, neither the New York Knicks. You never hear from Jim Dolan. You never hear from...
Dolan was forced into that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm with Ben, but you can do it the other way, too.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for us today.
Indeed.
We're going to be back, though, tomorrow. From noon to three, right here on The Fan.
Might even talk some golf.
Yeah, it is PGA Championship Week. Soggy Quail Hollow. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Buck and Sook right here on The Fan.
Bye.